Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
I want to welcome you. I can't do the headphones. I'm charging my phone at the same time. Sorry. But now, listen, don't worry about that. I'm going to try that in a second. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, February the 9th of 2021. And I'm your host tonight, the Miracle Man. I am very pleased that you've made the determination to tune in to this wonderful broadcast tonight to hear from the Word of God. Amen. I love the Word. And we'll get into the Word in a little while. I want to thank you for understanding. About yesterday, I was driving home back to Michigan. And on that leg home, like when I would have been doing my show, the roads, we were going from the state to the south of us into Michigan, and the roads were bad. They were not good because it was snowy. The same kind of thing was happening when I was leaving Michigan on Friday morning. But then we get to the state line Friday morning, just about to the state line, like 5 miles before the state line. The roads clear right up, and we get to speed right up. And I'm thinking, you parted the Red Sea! You parted the Red Sea, Jesus! You parted the Red Sea, and now we're free. Now, Jesus, parting the Red Sea, now that obviously that's not a joking matter, because that's a miracle that Jesus parted the Red Sea. But that's what it felt like when we got to speed back up. Is that a good example of how it feels? Don't you think it's almost like the sea gets parted? When it gets parted, that means like the sea gets dried up. The difference is that in the story of the sea, the waters of where the sea would be, it goes down their side like as a wall. But then when they get to land, the regular land, the sea goes back to where it was. But in this case, it's like the sea parted, like it was cleared for you. So I was like, you got to speed up. And it was like, yay, now we get to go 70, 75, 80. Don't go over 80, listeners. Don't do that. But, you know, follow the laws of the land. But we had a good time, great time, getting to go see my brother. And God is doing things in my brother's life. And it's good. And then, and some of you may be wondering, well, Miracle Man, did you go to your highly acclaimed Chick-fil-A? Yes, I did. When I got to, like, I was only in Ohio for a few hours and then went to Chick-fil-A at the mall, as I commonly do now when I get to Ohio. Going south, it is common practice for me to stop at Chick-fil-A because we're Chick-fil-A deprived in Michigan. It's hard to go to Chick-fil-A in Michigan. We have 20 of them, but none of them are in Auburn Hills. There's one in there's a couple in Lansing. There's a couple near GI. There's a Muskegon. There's a Kalamazoo, a Portage, some like that. But we don't have any in Midland. We don't have any in Saginaw, Flint. There's not one in Auburn Hills, Troy. Oh, there is one in Troy, but it's in the mall. I want one in Great Lakes Crossing food court, please. Come on, Great Lakes Crossing, if you're listening to the show, I want one in the food court. Well, at least one right by it. Then I had to have some banana pudding while I was down there, and I made sure to do that down there in Elizabethtown. Down there in the wonderful state of Kentucky. And I found out that depending on where you're from in Michigan, it makes a difference as to which big city you're closer to. Example. I found out just yesterday that from Cincinnati, E-Town, is about 2 hours 10, 2 hours 11 minutes, like I thought. But Cincinnati to a place called London, which is only 41 miles from the Tennessee line, compared to Elizabethtown's 94 miles. It's only like 10 minutes longer, 11 minutes longer. And I was like, and I'm thinking, I love this. And of course, the rule is the more south you go, the more accents you get. I was like, Kentucky, Tennessee. And not only that, I also believe the mountains help too. And when you're in a place like London, Kentucky, or Corbin, Kentucky, even Richmond, Kentucky, being closer to the mountains really does help. Just depends on what you want, of course. And the address I used was like right in downtown, right next to 75, right next to the river. But Becky, who's here, she has never left the state of Michigan. Not once. In her approximately 20 years of life, for a reason. Approximately. Never left Michigan. I just left again. Friends of mine and my brothers that are in E-Town too. If all I was going for was not for people and just for somewhere to go, I think I would, and it was just to be a smaller town area, I think I'd be more apt to go to like London, Kentucky, than to E-Town. Because I don't know. But that's like the people, though, of course, are in E-Town and Ray's Church, which is an awesome church. They got great people there. And I was just thinking about these waterfalls. And, of course, the best waterfall I've ever been to was actually right near Corbin. It's one called it's one called Cumberland Falls in near Corbin, Kentucky, which is down about 30 miles from the border of Tennessee. And I have to say, when I think about waterfalls, I think and I go, you know, the love of Jesus is just like never runs dry, doesn't give up. This waterfall never runs dry, of course, the love of Jesus. It's not like Cumberland Falls or Niagara Falls or whatever waterfalls you could think of. When I see, I'll get to go to Niagara Falls, which I'm excited about that. But other than that, I don't know why. My favorite will always be Cumberland. Unless I find a better one somewhere else, but I always thought it would be cool to like get a cabin there. Even the last couple of years, I've thought of it before. And besides that, it's only about 30 minutes or so longer than what E-Town is, albeit a different route. And, of course, being closer to Tennessee, you know they'll have more of a southern accent, right, Becky?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I love southern accents, and I know of few different good restaurants that they have down there in Corbin. And when I say good restaurants, what I mean by that is I mean like southern barbecue, good southern fast food, cookout. Louisville doesn't even have a place called Cookout. Lexington area has two. Louisville doesn't even get one. I haven't been to Bojangles yet. Louisville don't have it. Louisville doesn't have one. Lexington has like at least two. I always said if I was a culinary guy, I would be one of those guys to stay in one of those cities or something and do nothing but, you guessed it, eat. Of course, wouldn't you, Becky, to eat all those different chicken sandwiches, Zaxby's, Bojangles, Cookout, Popeyes, as far as McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, nope, skipping them. The hot chicken, Nashville hot chicken. Are you okay with spicy stuff? Why not? For those of you who do like spicy stuff, and I do good with the hot chicken as long as I just get it with some heat. And here's why, listeners. I find that if I get it with some heat, that allows me to get some of the flavor without being overwhelming. And I had a very good hot chicken sandwich yesterday when we were going through Louisville. I don't want to call it Lousyville, and even if I did, it would only be as a joke. It would only be as a joke. Because I am now, even, just out of curiosity, trying to look and compare the two. To see if my whims toward a certain one are justified or not. And like they say, it all depends on what you want. One thing I found is that like Louisville does have a lot more of the hot chicken places, but I think that just has everything to do with it being a little bit closer to Knoxville, I mean to Nashville, than what Lexington is. Because Lexington is like due east. Yeah, it has things to do with it. I'm going to change the topic. Now, all in all, it was a good trip. I was glad I got to go. We had a Super Bowl party Sunday night, and I watched the game. And I will talk to you about the game when we do sports. And Coca-Cola and the donut? Yeah. We know who we are. We know who owes who the Coke and a donut. And so as for that, it's what it is. All right. I want to remind you that we are now on PayPal. You can go to paypal.com to sow a seed. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Rivers Shukla. Once again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And feel free to sow whatever seed you wish to sow. And we will use whatever you sow towards the work of God. Amen and amen. And we're so thankful that you've made the determination to tune in to this wonderful Miracle Man program. And as I said, we are very grateful for that. I'm not just going to sit here and say that. I mean it with everything within me. And we know God looks on the heart of the giver. He looks on the heart. He didn't just look at the amount you give. He looks at your heart. He looks at the percentage, not the dollar amount. And we know that no listeners that is true. Amen. Also, I wanted to remind you to go online to riversofmiracles.com to check out, find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, the story of a God that we could not see, but we believed in, and it's a powerful story. Would you take this from me, please? It's a powerful story. It really is. And I would strongly encourage you to take a read at it, take a look at it, and just allow it to minister to you, please. You will be very glad that you did. All right. So, listeners, Fat Tuesday is coming up next week. Fat Tuesday, to encourage you to please go get some punchkis for yourself or someone you know and love who enjoys eating them so that they can enjoy the festive tradition of eating punchkis on Fat Tuesday. I know where I will be getting mine from. I'll be having some peanut butter ones and a couple of other wonderful flavors. And, of course, if you do Lent, more power to you. I don't. But you can just have at it. All right. We are going to sing a couple of songs, and then we are going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will lift up my eyes to your throne. I will trust you. I will trust you alone. I will bow down, hail you as King. I will serve you, give you everything. Give you everything. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will lift up my eyes to your throne, and I will trust you. I will trust you alone. I'll trust you. I will bow down and hail you as King. And I will serve you. I again give you everything. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone I'm worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. Lord, we are the ones called by your name. Humble ourselves now as we pray, renouncing every sin and wicked way. We bow our hearts, lift our hands, and sing. Lord, send the rain. Pour out your spirit. Let your fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Lord, send the rain. Pour out your spirit. Let your fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Lord, we are the ones called by your name. We humble ourselves now as we pray, renouncing every sin and wicked way. Humble ourselves with our voice. Lift our hands and say, Lord, send the rain. Pour out your spirit. Let the fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Lord, send the rain. Pour out your spirit. Let your fire fall, heal us one and all, fall fresh on me. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Send the rain, pour out your spirit, let your fire fall, heal us one and all, fall fresh on me, Lord, send the rain, pour out your spirit, let your fire fall, heal us one and all, fall fresh on me. Let your fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Let your fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will lay hold of you, 'cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace, I will follow you. You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will lay hold of you, 'cause I need you, Jesus, come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace, 'cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. Will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, come to my rescue. Then where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I need my headphones. Where's my headphones? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will follow you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are in our midst. We've worshiped you. We've praised you. And we honor you with everything that we have. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for what you mean to us. We thank you for what you're doing in us. For what you're going to do in us. We thank you that you're healing our minds. You're healing our bodies. Every one of us. You are working on the inside of us. You're healing our minds. Healing our bodies. You saved us. You saved me just in time. Thank you, Lord, for the healing being made manifest in the lives of those who are tuned in to this wonderful broadcast tonight. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. I give you praise and honor and glory and worship for that tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, that for the word tonight, that as this word goes forth, may every listener, ears to hear, a mind and heart ready to understand, and may they go forth and do this word with gladness. May they do this word with gladness. Do it. Live it. Whatever it says, do it. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon our life. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen us greatly, very greatly. And I just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you would just strengthen our hearts, strengthen our minds, that you would just make yourself fully known to all of us, through all of us, Heavenly Lord Jesus. You are our King. And I just thank you, Master, for that. In your name we pray. And I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners would come to this program. I pray, Lord God, that finances come in. I pray, Lord God, that increases in listenership come. And most importantly, I thank you, Lord God, for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, amen, and amen. Make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. Tonight, this Bible is more than a book, storybook to me, more than a religious book to me, and it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalm 78. Amen. Psalm 78. And we will start from there tonight. This Psalm 78 is a long one, so hang tight. Psalm 78. And I want to encourage you, please, follow along. Whatever I do here, you do there. Amen. Verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. By the way, this is sounds awesome. Open my mouth in my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things. Remember, listeners, that's how Jesus spoke. He spoke in parables. Things from of old. What we have heard and known. What our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob, and he established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, and they would not forget his deeds. But they would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day battle, they did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders that he had shown. He did miracles in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea, he led them through, and he made the waters stand firm like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and the light of fire all night. He split the rocks in the depths, and he gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky creek, and he made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Spread a table in the desert." And when he struck the rock, water gushed out, and streams flowed abundantly. But can he give us food? Can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was angry. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God, nor did they trust in his deliverance. Yet he gave a command to the skies above, and he opened the doors of the heavens, and he rained down manna for the people to eat, and he gave them the grain of heaven. Men ate the bread of angels. He set them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens, and he led forth the south wind to it by his power. He rained meat down on them like dust, flying birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tent. They ate until they had more than enough, for they had given them what they craved. But before they turned from the food that they craved, even while it was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them. He put the sturdiest among them to death, cutting down the young men of Israel. In spite of all people, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God, their Most High, was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant, yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities, and they did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger, and he did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were like flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the desert, and they grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again, they put God to the test, and they vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day they displayed his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan, he turned their rivers to blood. They could not drink from their streams. He sent swarms of flies that devoured them, and frogs that devastated them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper and their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. And he gave over their cattle to the hail, the livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger and his wrath and his indignity and his hostility. A band of destroying angels. He prepared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but he gave them over to the plague. All of the firstborn of Egypt, the first fruits of manhood in the tents of Ham. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He guided them safely so that they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies. Thus he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. He drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes. But they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their fathers, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. They angered him with their high places. They lost his jealousy in their idols. When God heard them, he was very angry. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent that he had set up among men. He sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. He gave his people over to the sword. He was very angry with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their maidens had no wedding. Had no wedding songs, and their priests were put to the sword, and their widows could not sleep, could not weep. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a man awakes from the stupor of his wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame. Then he rejected the tents of Isaiah. Of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant. He took him from the sheep pens. From sending the sheep, he brought him to be his shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity and heart. With skillful hands, he led them. 79. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have given the dead bodies of your servants as food to the birds of the air, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. And they have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem. There is no one to burn the dead. We are object of reproach to our neighbors with scorn, repression to those around us. How long, O Lord? How long will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob, and they have destroyed his homeland. Do not hold against us the sins of the days. Fathers, may your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, O God, our Savior, the glory of your name. Glory of your name, deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, where is their God? After our eyes, make known among the nations that you avenge the outpoured blood and your servant. May the servant of the prisoners come before you. With the strength of your arm, preserve those remanded to die. Pay back the lapse of our neighbors 7 times the reproach they have hurled at you, O Lord. And would your people of your pasture will praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. And then I will read 80, and then that'll do it. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sent and thrown between the cherubim. Shine forth before Ephraim, by Jim and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. And you have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations, and you planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade. The mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea. It shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its wall so that all who pass to pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, while the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your hand has planted, the sun I'm raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. The Son of Man, you have raised up in yourself. Then we will not turn away from vengeance, as we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. I like that, when it keeps talking about, let your face shine upon us. God wants to shine his face down upon us. He does. He wants to restore us. He really does. And one of the things we need to, and Jesus still shines his face now, of course. Now I always pray, you know, that may the face of God, may it shine upon us. May he continue to be gracious to us. And may he continue to give us peace. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you to live in a place where there's constant uncertainty. Like right now. One of the things about this day we live in right now is there's so much uncertainty. You know, with COVID and the new, the variants. By the way, about these new, what they're calling variants, here's what happens, listeners. When will governors and other people realize this? A virus. What do viruses do? Viruses virus. Viruses mutate. They host, they and as time goes on, though they may possibly make more people sick, they don't necessarily kill more people, nor do they make more people severely ill. And so overall, if anything, it makes it weaker. And I would hope that there would not be asymptomatic spread of the new strain. Because usually, chances are, if you have the flu, generally, you know, if you know you have it, you're symptomatic, what do? You stay home. You isolate yourself. Since when do we quarantine the healthy? Well, with everything else, generally, the good thinking people who are honestly sick, they can. They would normally, if they're contagious, they would normally do the right thing and stay home. And that's why this whole thing that they try to do to try to close the schools and all this other stuff, it's ridiculous. But to be honest with you, all these lockdowns and shut ups, all this stuff, it's not about a virus. You know that, Becky? It's not about a virus, is it? They want control. They want control. But anyhow, I'm going to get off of this. But every once in a while, I just like to kind of take a few minutes to kind of let you know where we're at, what's going on. But back to what I'm trying to say. Uncertainty. In times of uncertainty, you can still trust in God. God is still God. He's the God of yesterday and today, the beginning and the end. He's still the first. He's still the last. He's still the soon coming King. He still heals. He still delivers. He heals regardless of what your sickness and disease is. The Bible didn't say, Jesus heals everything but COVID. Or Rovid or Dovid or any other thing that they may make that make it sound like that. Nope, doesn't say that. He's the healer. And that, my friend, is certain. Even when you live in a time that is not only troubling, but also uncertain. Of course, we have to think positive. We have to think godly thoughts. And we are basically in the process right now of booking a trip in which I'm going to go to Florida for a few days in March. Me and my mom are going to go, and we're going to spend some time down there beaching it. Let me say, are you worried about the beaches being closed? No, I'm not. I keep a good attitude for one. And two, for my trust in God. And I claim that it's going to be dead. By that, I mean the virus. We have to curse COVID. We have to. Right? You may say, some of you may wonder, is what's going on right now a result of God's anger? I would say no. God will unleash his biggest bouts of anger during the tribulation. When you should not be here. And God will be judging the earth and things that will be happening. It will not be good. You do not want to be here during the tribulation. You do not want to be here during the tribulation. That is why it is very important that you give your life to Jesus Christ of Nazareth tonight. And one thing we don't know when he's going to come. We got to occupy until he comes. We know it's soon. Soon doesn't necessarily mean 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Could be 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Oh, the way things are right now, huh? Jesus said, the Son of Man will come at an hour man is not aware of. That doesn't necessarily mean that it'll just be hunky-dory when he comes. But could be a day where people are just living their lives. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. Going to the mall, the football game, me enjoying the game, of course. At you know, whatever level game I'm at the time, maybe I'm at a middle and high or some other high school game, maybe I'm at a college game, maybe I'm at a pro game. But, you know, like whatever, you know, there's be a day where people are just, you know, going about their lives. And suddenly a trumpet blows, and it's not from the band section. And you hear the voice of the archangel, and it's not a football player. It's the Lord coming for his bride. And the Lord Jesus said, I am coming for a glorious church without spot, blemish, or any such thing. I'm coming for a church, and I'm not coming for a beat up, dirty, sinful, weak, you know, church. I'm coming for a glorious church. A church, you know, where people are victorious. That's what God said, the remnant church of the last days. That's who he's coming for. Not for those who water down the gospel on purpose. The, you know, these user-friendly preachers. By the way, I went to one of these user-friendly churches once in Cincinnati back in 2007. We go to this church. There's a play place in the foyer, for one thing. Yeah, one of these play places like what you see in the mall. And they had one in the foyer. No, I'm not kidding either. Then, after that, Coke fountain. There's a Coca-Cola fountain. Free sodas, coffee. Yeah, free sodas. Praise and worship. They sing songs and they say, be like, he is the pie, he is the air we're breathing, he's the song we're singing, he's the power. He's not even saying one word about the name Jesus. Before the service starts, they sing a song, Get Your Kicks on Route 66. No anointing in that church at all. None. Found out it was a user-friendly church. That's not the kind of church God's looking for, folks. It's not. And they call that thing a church? So my dad has teased me a couple times before, and he'd be like, you know, maybe now they have cheeseburgers and fries, or they have chicken strips and fries to go with your free Coke at church now. Wouldn't that be something, Becky? Mm-hmm. So you just sit there while you're at church, you know, and he's speaking. I wasn't going to call it preaching, because I don't think he referred to one scripture. I don't think he did. But that thing was full on a Sunday morning. Uh-huh. And if you're in that kind of church, I hope you'd get out of it and get yourself in a real church where they believe the Bible unapologetically. They preach the word. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in the baptism. They believe in speaking in tongues. And they believe in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would check ourselves tonight. I just pray, Lord God, that you would minister unto each one of us, that we may check ourselves and make sure that we're right with God. Not just so we're right with God, but so that we can receive all of the things, Lord Jesus, that you want us to receive from you, Lord God. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. All right. For sports on Super Bowl Sunday night, you had the Buccaneers demolish the Chiefs 31-9. I basically said it would be Others said 27-24 or 31-28. I said it would be within like 3 points. Well, the Bucks totally, absolutely covered that spread. The Chiefs could not get one touchdown. Not one touchdown. Even when the Seagulls, the Seahawks of 2013, demolished the Broncos, like 42-8, even then they let the Broncos get a touchdown. But the defense of the Bucks? Nope. Nope. And of all the games, the Super Bowls that Tom Brady played in, that he quarterbacked in, this was the one, the only blowout. You know that, Josh? This is the only blowout game that Brady played, blowout Super Bowl that Brady ever played in. You know that, Josh? All of his other ones have, in general, they were within 10 points or less. All of them. You realize that, right? All of them. This one, 22. And people may say, now I'm sure people are saying, Tom Brady is a GOAT. Greatest of all time, by the way, is what that means. Not like like a sheep or goat. But greatest of all time. Let me tell you who the real GOAT is. The real GOAT is Jesus. And when I was at church Sunday, down there at Abundant Life, they talked about that. And it was actually really good the way they talked about it. It was a good sermon. But you see, it was just a dominating performance. And surprisingly, when I was at the Super Bowl party, there were a lot more Chiefs fans than what there were Bucks fans. So no wonder after halftime about half the church left. Because for whatever reason, they wanted the Chiefs. And I would have been happy too if the Chiefs would have won. Andrew Wiley is on that team, number 77. But I picked the Bucks. I wanted the Bucks. I wanted Brady to get another ring. He got it. He is now he's 43. So the question becomes, has he admitted, Josh, that he wants to play for at least one more year?
I know he's playing next year, yeah. He might be playing past that, too.
And we will have to wait and see, listeners, what happens as far as how many more years Brady can stay in good form. My brother admitted to me the other day that with the Lions losing Stafford, that the Bucks may be his new favorite team. To which I said, we'll wait and see. Time will tell. I am believing in the Bucks, though. I am. And that had to be so sweet, getting to play in that home stadium like that. And then to be able to just win the way they did after having to play three playoff games on the road, three of them. They could have because of those three interceptions, they could have easily lost to the Packers, but they didn't. They're the Cinderella playoff team, the Cinderella. And look at how big they win. Big. Because of margin of victory, that might make it one of the biggest upsets in football history. because of being a because of not only being a Cinderella, but also the margin combined. You think in a way that might be a bigger upset than the, not quite as big, but close to as big as the Giants upset, right? So that's still the most.
Yeah.
And part of it too is, by the way, you know, you have Brady. As far as this time, like that you have Brady and you have Mahomes. So either way, it would have been. And listeners, I told you what the Bucks had to do. They did it to a T. And the result was beyond what I had expected. I wasn't going to say better because I would have been happy with the Chiefs win, although I picked the Bucks. Sort of like the Falcons Patriots of 4 years ago when the Falcons were up 28-3, which, by the way, that year I picked the Patriots to win anyway. It was the last Super Bowl before we had the show, but I did think the Patriots were going to win. And I'm sitting there not disappointed, but kind of like, you know, when it's 28-3. Just thinking, thinking. Like, what's going to happen? And to think that Brady got 7 of his rings in the last, that he got 4 of his rings, 4 of them, in just the last 6 NFL seasons. That's incredible, isn't it? He's what you call a gracefully aging quarterback. A gracefully aging quarterback. That's exactly what he is too, isn't he? Gracefully. And because the first one he got, he was like almost a rookie. Then next year, nope. Next 2 years, yep. And since then, no one has won back-to-back Super Bowls. And that's the other thing that the Chiefs had working against them. Now, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.